Hi, everyone. It's Fitz with another edition of Fighting Ever Fighting, and I'm back. My first interview in a while. Shout out to Ryan Gilbert and Cole Carmody, who absolutely crushed it over the past umpteen weeks, filling in for me and kind of handling things that they enjoy handling, which is recruiting and basketball and those types of things. But I'm back, and our guest today is our first non-coach at K-State. When we brought this podcast back, it was meant to reach out to former players and alums and all that. Then we end up with new football staff, new basketball staff, and we've been picking our way through those staffs. And we got a little more work to do in basketball, so we might return to that as we lead up to football. But it was Big 12 Media Days this week, and while I was not there, I was anchoring things back here in the studio and got my juices flowing. So I hit up Skylar Thompson. I brought back the old quarterback to have a discussion as he's getting ready for his fifth NFL season. I don't know what happened. I'm getting old. It's just time's flying. And he's the same great guy as he embarks on his third NFL franchise with a camp coming up here at in Baltimore with the Ravens. But we talk about that and a lot of K-State things and career things. And man, this dude's the best. Let's get to my conversation with Skylar Thompson, who's actually right now in Kansas City because he and his wife just bought a home. And now we welcome in Skylar Thompson, former K-State quarterback. Sky, before I started this, I did some research, which I don't need to do a lot of on you. You've been gone 5 years?
I know.
It's 20, crazy. What?
I know. No, you're telling me that people say that and it doesn't feel real. That's for sure.
So this season, if I'm mathing right, will represent the same amount of time you've played in the NFL as you were at K-State.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, going to year five. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, really is. You signed with Baltimore. You've been with Miami and Pittsburgh. I got some Pittsburgh questions for you because I got some Steelers deviants at work for me. But now you're with Baltimore. Just sum up your journey so far.
Yeah. You know, so I got drafted to Miami. I spent 3 years there, and then last year was in Pittsburgh. And then this offseason was a free agent and signed with Baltimore in beginning of May. And yeah, so going into year five here with the Baltimore Ravens, and I've kind of been all over the place a little bit, but man, it's been a great journey, and I've had a lot of fun, some great experiences. So I'm excited for this year for sure.
Well, it got a little weird in Pittsburgh because your stalker showed up. Will Howard just comes to K-State. Now he goes to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What was your time in Pittsburgh like?
Man, I loved my time in Pittsburgh. Had a great experience there. Really loved the city, loved the atmosphere there. Everybody loved football. Quite honestly, it reminded me a lot of K-State. The type of following the fan base has and the atmosphere there, you know, in that whole city, it's all about football, you know. Everybody cares about how the Steelers are going to be and wants us to win. So that was really cool to get back into that atmosphere a little bit. And, you know, to spend time with Will, you know, that was a really cool opportunity. We spent a lot of time together at K-State. We had a great relationship there. And to be able to share a room together and at the NFL level was awesome. You know, that was my first year there, his first year there, to have a familiar face in the room, somebody who you know and have worked with before. It kind of helps the process of getting comfortable a little bit and learning a new offense and all that type of stuff, being able to bounce ideas off each other and work with one another and be familiar with each other is great. So, it was a great experience. I love Tomlin. Met a lot of great people there, a lot of great guys on the team, a lot of great people in the building. Just all around just great people and a good experience for me for sure.
Years ago, Kansas State played in the NCAA tournament and, their first site was Pittsburgh. And I remember of all the sites I got, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I actually fell in love with the place.
No, I was the same way. Like it, didn't quite know what I was getting myself into, but the more time I spent there, was a great city, and a very beautiful city too, right there on the water, on the rivers. Yep. And It was awesome. I really loved it.
Yep. Miami though, not a bad place to start. Weather sucks. I know. It's just unfortunate you had to do that, but you got some time. You got due to injuries. You got on the field a little bit, including starting a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be like a good way to get your feet under you for an NFL career.
Yeah. You know, for sure. I was very grateful for the experiences that I got there. I felt like I learned a lot about myself and, going into my rookie year when I got drafted, like I was in a situation, I was a seventh round pick, like had to prove myself and go earn my spot on the team, and had a really good preseason and made the roster there and found my way into starting three games that year in a playoff game and getting to play in a few more. So it was a great year for me to get some experience and, you know, just get adjusted to the level of football at the NFL level. So, I was very grateful for that. And being able to experience that my first year was very helpful for me.
What are the biggest differences on and off the field between the college game and the NFL game?
Yeah. There's quite a few differences. I would just say, like, probably everybody says the speed of the game. I tell everybody the pass rush, I felt like from college to the NFL is substantially different. you better get the ball out or you're going to take a hit there. But also in the back end, you know, the looks the defense gives you, there's a lot of disguising, a lot of different looks. You don't see a lot of busted coverages. Everybody's on their P's and Q's on where they're supposed to be at the right time. And, that takes some time to adjust to, but also you got better, I was throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Yeah. Like it kind of goes hand in hand. But once you get adjusted to it, man, I felt like it starts slowing down for me when you get some more experience and get to see those live bullets in games. It's at the end of the day, it's football and everybody has, runs the same plays, X's and O's, same coverages and stuff like that. So once when I simplified that a little bit, it helped me, kind of settle in there and get adjusted to it. But that's far as on the field, off the field, it's just a little different too. You know, in college, you're with your boys every day. You're going through college, like you're spending a lot of time together. In the NFL, you got people that are grown men that have families, have kids, have other obligations outside of football. And so it makes it a little different, connections outside of football, a little different, but you just gotta, depending on the organization, the culture too. Miami, there was tons of things to do. So I felt like that was a little different from experiences outside of the facility with connecting with guys. Cause there's just so much to do. People were kind of doing things all the time, and Pittsburgh, there wasn't a lot to do there. So, I got to spend a lot of time with guys outside of football, and that's kind of what I was touching on earlier. Reminded me a lot of K-State a little bit, kind of had that college atmosphere, that college feel to it a little bit.
Well, to give everyone an update, you and your wife just bought a house. That's kind of cool, man.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We just bought a house in KC, and it's our first one, first time home buyers. So that's been a great process for us. We like being back here in Kansas City, and we're both homebodies. Her family's from Liberty and my family's from Buckner, Missouri. So kind of found, a happy medium there to where we can spend time with our family, spend time around our people in the off season. And I just feel like that really helps, re-energize us after a season, being able to be around our people. So we really, really enjoyed it.
If I run into the Hunt family at the club, won't happen because I don't even know what club they're in. I'll put a bug in their ear. But, Clark might call me. I don't know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's go back to your time at K-State. You went through the coaching transition. You came to play for a legend. And honestly, you continue to play for a legend in a different way.
Yeah.
That had to be a unsettling moment for any player when the coach who recruited him retires and a new coach comes in.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. I'm very grateful to be able to, I got to play for, like you said, two legendary coaches at K-State. When Coach Snyder, we all knew there was going to come a point in time where he was probably going to retire, and that we were going to be part of a coaching transition. We just didn't really know what that was going to look like or who it was going to be. And so whenever he did decide to retire, we were all kind of sitting there on edge of, you know, we all kind of know what had happened in the past when he left the program, you know, and we definitely didn't want to be a part of anything, you know, that was negative or anything short of what K-State football has been in the past. So whenever we hired Coach Kleiman, you know, quite honestly, a lot of people weren't super aware of who he was or what he stood for. But I was one of those guys that really stood up in front of people and told them, like, we have a really good coach coming in here, because matter of fact, North Dakota State was my second offer out of high school. And I was actually offered on the phone by Coach Kleiman, and Coach Riley, who was the O-line coach at K-State that came with him, was the Kansas City recruiter. So I had known Coach Riley really well too. So I was aware of what they have done up there and what they have accomplished and what they were bringing to K-State. And I knew it was going to be a great fit. So, I was very thankful that I got the opportunity to play for Coach Kleiman as well. And he had a great impact on me and my career and really taught me a lot about the game. But what was really cool is, I mean, there was so many similarities. They were different coaches, but there was a lot of similarities as well. Their values were very similar, and the type of culture that they wanted to have there is, it was a championship culture that we held each other accountable, and was a player driven culture. And, you know, that's what you want. So it was a very cool experience for me to be a part of both coaches.
Then you had to go through COVID as a player. Mm-hmm. Granted, you got injured, which probably wasn't a bad plan on your part, to be honest.
Yeah, it worked out.
That whole season had to suck. Just everything about that whole era sucked. But trying to play football with virtually no fans, ugh.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we talk about all the time. Like, looking back at it, like, it is crazy that, like, when we found a way to get through that year, because there were so many different obstacles. And, you know, I just remember that springtime or going into the summer, it was like, you know, they're calling us, telling us we got to stay home. And that was like, I think it hit during spring break. So, you know, then they're telling us to stay home, not come back. And then we come back at the beginning of June thinking we're going to have a normal summer, workouts, all this stuff. And we were there, I think, for a week or two, and then we got shut down again. And so it was just, you know, so many ups and downs. But honestly, looking back, and I think I'm not speaking for Coach Kleiman, but I think he would agree with me in a sense of that year really built our program, because we were tested and challenged in so many ways. And for him as a head coach, I couldn't even imagine the things that were on his plate that he had to maneuver through and be able to manage. And that was a tough year for us. You know, we lost to Arkansas State the first game, and then come out and beat Oklahoma, and things are on the rise. And, you know, then I tore my pec there the third game of the season versus Texas Tech. And it was just kind of a rough year for us. But I truly felt like that molded us and taught us a lot of things in the program, and kind of exposed our weaknesses to where we knew where we needed to get better and where we needed to change. And sure enough, we won a Big 12 championship 2 years later, you know. And I think that COVID year played a huge part in that transition to finding that mold and that culture that we were looking for.
Yeah. It helped galvanize the next man up, which everyone needs.
Oh, yeah.
Mentality, mm-hmm. But threw Will into the fire. I mean,
yeah,
it sucked mm-hmm. for Will. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
To be a true freshman, to be inserted into Big 12 football, but in that environment, everything going on. And oh yeah, the running back standing next to you is also a true freshman.
Yeah,
it was a lot of it was a huge challenge for those guys, but I think they became better players for it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that was a tough situation for Will to go into, but I think, you know, he, like, once again, not speaking for him, but I think him going through those, you know, that those trials and tribulations that year really helped mold him into the player that he is today. You know, sometimes you got to get thrown into the fire and face some adversity, and you learn a lot about yourself. And I think all those guys that got thrown in those situations at a young age were, you know, it really paid off for him in the long run.
Well, I didn't want to do a bunch of Will Howard stuff here, but what's his best quality as a quarterback or leader, or what he brings to the team?
Yeah, you know, I think Will has a lot of grit, man. He's very, very competitive, and he wants to be the best. But I would say ultimately, like, being around him, like, he is very smart and very intelligent. He processes really well. And, you know, as quarterback, like, that intangible right there can take you a long ways. Yeah. So I'll be really, really, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out for Will, because I just think he's very bright and he understands and processes the game very well. So, like I said, that can take you a long way. So yeah. I'm excited to see where that takes him.
How frustrating was your college career? Injuries just really got the best of you.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if frustration is the right word, but you know, it was it. I was presented with some challenges with that, and especially towards the tail end of my career, where I felt like I was playing some of my best football at times, and then would kind of get it taken away from me with an injury. But I learned a lot about myself through that time. You know, whenever you get the game taken away from you, you learn a lot about yourself. You have to learn how to, you know, attack rehab, and you're also kind of isolated from the team a little bit. You know, everybody's going out and practicing, and you're sitting in the training room. You can't do everything that the team's doing, you know. But I learned a lot about myself. I thought it made me mentally tough, and you know, really helped mold me into a better player in the long run. And I was surrounded by some great people there at K-State, with Coach Klein and Kleiman, and everybody very supportive of me, you know, during that process of being hurt. So like, just always kept me with a, I always had a great mindset, you know, towards it, that I was just going to attack each and every day and be where my feet are at, and you know, things were gonna play out, you know. And that, like you said, talking about the COVID year, you know, honestly, like, looking back, like, that COVID year, like, really helped my career, giving me another year of eligibility to where I can come back, and gave me an opportunity to get drafted, you know. And if COVID wouldn't have happened, you know, I may have gotten hurt and been done, you know, like, it would have been hard for me to do a pro day and all that stuff, because I couldn't throw. So looking back, hindsight's 2020, but I think it definitely played in my favor a little bit and helped me out.
It's a good life lesson there, isn't it?
No doubt.
You gotta take advantage of circumstances, even if they're negative.
Yeah.
I want your opinion on this, because this is something I've heard a lot from just people, and I kind of agree with it. But I want you to be honest here. K-State quarterbacks get injured. That's part of the game. How much does the quarterback run game that's so prevalent at K-State play into that?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a time and place. I think there's, you know, hits definitely add up over time. It's a physical game, and you know, I always say, when a defense sees a quarterback with the ball in their hand, they're going to try to hit you a little extra harder, you know. But I think there's a time and place to run the quarterback, for sure, especially with a guy that has the ability to be a threat with their legs. Like, I think in key situations, you know, key point in times in the game, there's a certain time where it's a good thing to do, and it makes the defense account for another guy. Like, it does, it puts some stress on the defense to run the quarterback, and that's something that K-State's always been known for doing, you know. And for me, like, I would say, transitioning into the NFL, like, I kind of use my legs as a, you know, an asset. It's not something that I rely on, but if the defense presents for me to run, that I have the ability to do so. But in college, like, there was times where, like, my numbers called to run the ball, and like, I wanted to run the ball. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, I wanted the ball in my hands, and I wanted to go make a play for the team. And so, and I always kind of knew when that time came, that it was like do or die time. You know, I had to, fourth and one or fourth and two, had to go get it, or at the goal line versus Oklahoma State. Like, I mean, for Oklahoma, like, it was time to go get it, you know, and time to go score and put my body in the line for the team. So I always took some pride in running the ball a little bit.
Of course, your biggest play in terms of how fans remember it was the last play against Iowa State, where you kind of scrambled around and find Isaiah Zuber.
Yeah.
How much do you think of that play? Because that was an amazing football moment. That's just one of those great football moments.
Yeah, I think that was one of my favorite plays of my. Really, that entire drive was one of my favorite drives and endings to a game of my entire career. And I thought it was a career defining moment for me a little bit. You know, I was a young guy. I was a redshirt freshman, and you know, I just remember going into that, like, we had a bowl game on the line that game too. And I remember, like, Trent Tanking, a linebacker, senior linebacker, walk on. Just like, listen to him talk before the game of how much that, like, this game meant to him. Like, we have to win this game. Like, I want to go play in a bowl game. You know, and as a redshirt freshman, for me, like, I was like, I want to win that game for the seniors. And, you know, here I am, a little young guy, you know, like, trying to figure the game out a little bit still. But we couldn't move the ball that entire game. And we got into that drive, and they were just playing soft coverage and trying to keep everything in front of them. And we were kind of dinking and dumping and making some good plays. And when we got down there, you know, I knew the time and situation that we had, that we, you know, we had to go score. And well, I don't think we had any timeouts either. So, yeah, like we had to make a play. And, you know, it was just one of those plays, like I said, everything broke down and I kind of just used my legs and found Zuber there in the back of the end zone with no time on the clock. And yeah, I mean, it was just, I still remember it like it was yesterday, like just getting tackled on the field and the fan base going crazy. Like it was a lot of fun.
I never ask you this, but how many times in your mind during that play, which must have seemed like that play went on for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Just go to the left. No, I got to go back to the right. Did your brain say, we got to run, tuck it and run? And another part of your brain said, nope, no, got to find someone.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of stuff going through my brain. And then looking back at it too, like, I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Cause I mean, we had around like 8 or 9 seconds and I think it was first and goal. So like looking back, like if nothing was there, I could have thrown the ball away and lived to fight another day and get another play in. But just in my mind and my instincts told me to go extend the play. And like I knew Byron Pringle was out to the left and that's who we were trying to throw the ball to. And when he got covered, I kind of scrambled his way to see if he would pop, and that didn't happen. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go right and see if that works. And I did think about running it for a second. And I think whenever I had that thought, it kind of sucked the defense in a little bit. And that's what sprung Zuber open there at the end.
Still incredible. Still amazing. So let's go to this. What was your thoughts when you heard Chris Glyman was retiring?
Man, I was super happy for him. Cause I have a great relationship with Coach Glyman, and I was so proud of him. He was a great coach, one of my favorite coaches I've ever had. And just knew that he had given his heart and soul to the program. And, you know, it's like, you knew it was time for him, you know, like he was making the right decision for himself. And, you know, he's accomplished so many things. He's won national championships. He won a Big 12 championship at K-State. Like he has done some great things in his career. And I was just super happy for him that, you know, he made that decision for himself and for his family, and he knew that it was the right thing for him to do. And, you know, so that just makes me happy for him. But definitely it was sad to see him go, you know. It's but everybody's, you know, time comes to an end at some point, and I feel like some people hold on to it longer than they should. Yep. and string it out longer than they should. And I think he realized, you know, it was time for him to step away for him. And, you know, the college, I feel like, I mean, I have no idea, but I feel like the college game in general has changed a lot. And, you know, I think that kind of took a toll on him a little bit. So, I'm happy for him though. I know he's spending time with his family and playing a lot of golf, you know? So I'm happy for him.
That's good. He likes that.
He does.
He likes it a lot. Do you think Skylar Thompson would have been comfortable in this NIL area? Yeah. Era. Yeah. You get paid. Mm-hmm. But it's also made college football so much more transactional than it ever was before. It's got a little bit of NFL flavor to it now.
Yes, it does. I would say I would be comfortable in it for sure. But I also would say, and a lot of guys that I played with talking, we talk about this all the time. It's just how crazy it is. And just honestly couldn't imagine living in that world a little bit as a 18, 19 year old kid. But, you know, I'm very thankful. Like, I was thankful for my scholarship, you know, that paid for my school, you know, and that room and board check that paid for my rent every month and had $500 left over for the month, you know, like that was like, wow, you know, like that was a big deal. And I was able to, you know, to live happily in Manhattan, you know, like I was able to do what I wanted to do. And I lived comfortably, and my parents didn't have to ever give me money, you know? And that's so awesome. To me, that was like, I was very grateful for that at the time. And, you know, I think limiting the transfer portal, all those types of things, like you learn a lot about yourself when you are in tough situations and you stick it out and grind through them, you know. And my time at K-State wasn't always sunshine and rainbows, especially early on in my career. And, you know, I feel like in today's world, a lot of people would have transferred. But there is some truth to sticking it out and grinding it out when times are hard. And, you know, you learn about yourself and it makes you better, you know. And I think mm-hmm. that's that's really what summed up my career there and what I'm thankful for, you know, that maybe I wasn't a part of the NIL era. You know, it kind of forced me to stick it out and go through some growing pains and go through some hard things to get to where I'm at.
I guarantee you, myself at 18, 19, I run into a wall, an impediment. I want to transfer.
Yeah.
Now, old man me is like, well, no, you gotta experience this stuff. Unless it's horrific, you gotta just work through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a time and place where it makes sense for people to transfer, but I just feel like in today's world, some of these guys, as soon as they hit some adversity, they're, oh, I'm going to a different school. Like, I can't do this, you know, and that's not really teaching you a whole lot, you know?
No, nope. I like to brag here that I was on NIL in college. My dad paid for my drinking. So it's a different kind of NIL, but it was my name, image, and likeness, and I used it in the way I wanted to.
Good for you.
How cool was it when you find out about Colin Klein coming back?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I was so happy. I'm excited for him. You know, I got to play for him for 5 years as my quarterback coach, and you know, so I got to know him really, really well, and we have a great relationship. And I've always kind of known like this is one of his ultimate goals, to be a head coach someday, and for it to fall in line to be at K-State was just icing on the cake, you know, for him and for me as well. You know, like I was hoping that's what was going to happen once when I heard the news that Klieman was retiring. And I think he's the perfect fit, like for this time and this era at K-State. Like I loved what he said, like, we're going to be the new old school, because I like that's who Colin is. Like he understands the new ways of the format of college football, but he's going to bring a Coach Snyder, you know, kind of attitude to it. And I think he's a perfect blend of Klieman and Snyder, and he's going to put his own stamp on it in ways that apply to him. And I think our program's in great hands. I really do. And, you know, he wants to be the best. He's one of the most competitive people I've ever been around, and he wants to be the best in all aspects. And so, I'm super excited for him. I think, like I said, the program's in great hands, and there's a lot of great things to look forward to with him leading the way for sure.
I'll be honest, I was worried he wasn't quite ready. I mean, he's young for a head coach at this level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't have been more wrong. Everything that Colin's done has been like a veteran coach. He learned so much from Snyder and Klieman, so much. Mm-hmm. And Elko at A&M.
Yeah. No.
I've been blown away, and everything I'm hearing about what's going on, because he's gone Bill Snyder, he's locked it down pretty good. But everything I hear is it's been amazing. In fact, Avery at Media Days this week spoke about off-season conditioning and how he made a point of saying we're bringing back the Bill Snyder off-seasons is within the rules. Of course, the old days, there were no rules. They made the rules because of Bill Snyder. But that this off-season has been brutal for the team. And honestly, I think the program needed it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I agree. I think, you know, there's a fine line of, you know, working hard and overworking. And I think you find out a lot about yourself when you're pushed to the limit. You know, when you're thinking about breaking, you know, you find out who wants to be here and who doesn't. And you know, I think that's what Colin is bringing to the program. And you know, it's another thing that I think I've heard him say is, you know, it's an honor to wear the power cap, you know, and it means something to wear that, and you got to earn that badge. It's not just going to be given to you. And I think like those are the type of guys, like that's what's made K-State who we are. You know, everybody, we've always been underlooked, kind of underestimated, you know, a program, and don't really get a lot of respect from people, but we're going to outwork and be more disciplined and be more tough than our opponent. And you build those things through off-season program for sure. And you know, one of my cool story that I went out there this spring and spent some time with him and went to a couple workouts. And yeah, I mean, I immediately like, I was like, yeah, this gives me flashbacks, you know. But what was really cool as well is they were running some sprints, and I vividly remember this. They were having trouble making some times, and you know, finally, like some of the coaches threw their whistles down and started running with the players. And I thought that was really cool. You know, I think he has the right people in the building, coaching staff. I mean, literally everybody is on board with him, and they're all synchronized. And, you know, that's a recipe for success. And when you work harder than everybody else and you're disciplined, you're tough, like it's going to give you a lot of opportunities to win a lot of games for sure.
Okay. Quarterback, give me your evaluation of Avery Johnson.
Man, I'm excited for Avery. You know, kind of just everything that we've talked about, I think he's a true K-Stater. Like I'm really proud of him in the era that college football is in. Like he stuck it out and he stayed at K-State, because I know it could have been so easily for him to go to some other program, you know, and he stuck it out here, and he wants to be successful here at K-State. And I've been fortunate to work with him a couple times and throw and get to know him a little bit. And he's super competitive. He's a really good person, really good guy. And you can tell the guys on the team gravitate towards him. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, I'm super excited to see what this season looked like with Colin calling plays and running the offense. I think it's really going to open up a new level for him. And a guy that he knows Colin really well, you know, when he was recruited there. And so they have a great relationship and they're going to be on the same page. And so I'm super excited for him. I know he's looking forward to this season, and has all the potential in the world. You know, he really does. I'm just excited for him to just go cut it loose and play free and trust his abilities. You know, I feel like there's sometimes in the past couple of years, you can tell he's thinking out there a little bit. But I was the same way. Like I said, it's part of everybody's progression through playing quarterback, and you got to go through those moments to learn who you are and your capabilities and what you're, you know, able to do. And I think that he's gone through all those things. He's stuck it out and he's grinded through it and he's approached it the right way. So I'm super excited to see what this year brings for him, for sure.
Okay. Let's bring this full circle as we wrap up. What are your thoughts heading into Baltimore, your third team? I don't want to say you're a journeyman, but I mean, mm-hmm. 3-5, that's getting up there, and that's not uncommon. There's guys that make great livings being backup quarterbacks without playing much. Mm-hmm. But as you go to Baltimore, what are your expectations for that situation? And honestly, I don't know about the situation. What are you walking into?
Yeah, you know, I'm walking into a situation where, you know, I got to prove myself each and every day. And, you know, that's what I've learned about playing quarterback in the NFL or just really any position. You know, every year is a new year with new opportunities. And, you know, I'm focused on myself, you know, and being the best player and person that I can be. And, you know, when I've had that mindset, like things seem to just work out for me. So, you know, I'm super excited for this opportunity. You know, this is just it's the next step, you know, and it is, especially in the quarterback world. You know, people are bouncing around every year. Like you don't really see outside of true franchise quarterbacks, people having long-term deals. They're always 1 to 2 years, and you kind of just got to prove yourself and kind of, you know, hopefully something strikes, you know, to where you can either stick there or sign somewhere else. Like it is, that's just kind of the nature of the game. And, you know, I've accepted that and, you know, just kind of taking pride in the journey, you know, and every chapter that I've been presented with, I've learned something about myself and it's made me better and it's helped me prepare for the next opportunity that comes, you know? So that's really all I'm focused on this year going in this year is putting my best football out there and, you know, seeing what happens and being ready for when that next opportunity comes.
At least it's purple.
Yeah. Hey, that was the first thing. I'm not kidding you. First thing, whenever I got signed, I sent a picture of my practice jersey to Coach Klein, actually. And I was like, hey, it's good to be back in purple. Like, this is sick. Like, it just feels good. You know, it really does. Because I miss K-State a lot. And so it was cool to throw in some purple again, for sure.
Yeah, it's a special place. You're a special dude, Skyler.
Yeah, thank you.
Taking time. And the K-State Nation still absolutely loves you and follows you with whatever stop you're at. And I think there'll be some mm-hmm. Ravens fans.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on here. I always love the opportunity to get to talk some K-State football and K-State in general. Like I said, it's near and dear to my heart, and I'll forever be a Wildcat. That's for sure.
You know, in my business, sometimes there's interviews where you ask questions and get answers, and sometimes there's conversations. And in the middle of that, that turned into a conversation. And that's what you want. And man, I love talking to Skylar. He's a thoughtful, intelligent, really, really good-hearted man. And he's a great representative of Kansas State football. And I love his story about transitioning from Snyder to Kleiman and how different it was and how similar it was. And I think a lot of that is being merged together with Colin Klein. Boy, he's fired up about that, isn't he? That's it for this edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. We'll be back next week. Supposedly it'll be me. We'll see how my health holds up with another conversation with a K-Stater about K-State and anything else we want to talk about. I'll talk to you real soon.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.